Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. If you're a regular listener, thank you once again for joining us. If this is your first time, please make yourself comfortable as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, lasting health, and so much more. And having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I am grateful to have met and worked with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, you all can do me a big favor. Please check out some of our past shows at answersforthefamily.com, or you can also go to YouTube and you can pull up the shows there as well. And when you do that, you're going to hear some informative and entertaining guests, as well as some dynamic co-hosts. They're going to discuss ways for you and your loved ones to become happier, healthier, and more at peace. Now, I'm also looking for some show ambassadors who will forward at least one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know who can benefit from a particular show. I want you to know that I truly appreciate it, and this is just another way that we, together, can make a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, we're going to have a very interesting show today. We're going to be talking about healing family dynamics through healthy and effective communication. My co-host, who's joining me once again, is Denise Klein. And Denise is the executive director of Milestones Ranch Malibu, one of the nation's premier dual diagnosis treatment centers. Denise graduated from the University of North Dakota with a master's degree in social work in 1992. She is actively involved in developing dual diagnosing programs that benefit and support the entire family system. Assisting patients in creating an emotionally sober and recovery-centric lifestyle is one of Denise's passions. Her ongoing faith that people and family systems can grow and change, and a strong belief in solution-focused and strength-based modalities lie at the heart of her ongoing dedication and vision for Milestones Ranch Malibu. Denise, thanks for joining me here today.
Thank you, Alan. I'm so grateful to be here.
So now, before we bring on our guests, can you share a little bit about what Milestones is doing now that's new and different?
Well, what's going on right now is we are, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, partnering with UCLA to do some exciting outcome studies, basically looking at our secret sauce, what's working, what's effective. We've been in business for 15 years, and we do see change every day in family systems, and we're excited to share that.
All right. So is it too soon for us to put out a teaser about a show we're going to do in December?
I'm not sure if it's going to be December or January because okay. We're very busy at the treatment center. But we are going to be doing a little show in Malibu called Recovery Shark Tank. It is not affiliated with the actual Shark Tank television show. I just want to be very clear about that. And basically what this is about is changing the narrative in our industry. There are so many incredible, passionate and compassionate caregivers who come in every week with different ideas for a book, a podcast, an app, a game, that sort of thing that they share with our team. And so we're going to do a little Recovery Shark Tank series in Malibu. And we've got judges from UCLA. We've got a judge from the intervention show, Candy Finnegan, Dr. Judy Ho, who just wrote a book on self-sabotage, has agreed to be a judge. And we're going to let people pitch their ideas, and then we'll have little prizes. And then the cool thing is we're going to send it out over Facebook and Instagram and share it with the community. So all of these positive solutions and ideas come forward to the general public. So we will be posting a website soon, and then people can send their pitches to the website, and we'll look over them. And unfortunately, we'll only be able to do about 8 to 10 per episode, but we're excited to change the narrative and look at all the positive things happening in the drug and alcohol industry.
Mm. Well, I love it. I'm glad you're doing it. And for everybody out there, if you keep checking back with our website, as soon as the date is set, we're not only post it on our website, but we're also going to have Denise back in along with someone else from the show at that time to talk a little bit more about the specifics and how people can get involved.
We're excited. Thank you so much.
All right. So our guests today are Rachel Cove and Seth Hall. Rachel is a life coach who has been working in the field of mental health recovery and personal development for 9 years. Now, being in recovery herself, Rachel understands on a personal level what it means to struggle with addiction. She has transformed her own experiences with trauma, depression, and self-harm into a life passion, self-love, and purpose. Through hard work, a strong mindset, and a dedication to personal growth, Rachel has acquired over 12 years of sobriety. And I congratulate her for that.
Thank you.
So Seth is someone who embodies transformation. His personal journey, along with recovering from drug addiction, tells people that no matter where you have come from, and with a strong desire and mindset to change, followed by consistent action, you can produce results. Seth's experience working with people individually and on a group level has inspired many to create a life that gives them purpose. He has a vast amount of experience working with treatment teams and families to teach healthy habits and new behaviors that are conducive to a successful lifestyle while believing success is possible in every aspect of lives. Mm-hmm. Now, through a self-authored workbook, Seth facilitates motivational life skills groups that allow people the opportunity to intrinsically motivate themselves. Mm. I love that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I know. We want to hear more.
Yeah, come to me.
So together, they operate Transformational Solutions, a life skills company that provides one-on-one coaching to those struggling with addiction, depression, anxiety, and anyone needing motivation and direction towards accomplishing their goals. They also provide family and couples coaching and workshops. Seth, Rachel, welcome back to Answers for the Family.
Thanks for having us, Alan.
All right. So now to start off with, share with our audience what a life coach does and why you believe they have become so valuable and widely used in recent years.
Well, what a life coach does is, I think it depends on what's needed from the client, really. It depends on the goals and the motivations of, you know, each client. So I would say for the most part, the idea of a coach is to get you from a place where maybe you're not living at your highest potential and looking at all of the different areas of your life, all the different dynamics, you know, in your personal relationships, in your career, in your education, in your fun and recreation, in your relationships with significant others or friends, and really doing a very honest self-assessment and then saying, looking at where you can grow and then actually creating an action plan to grow in those areas. The idea is balance and also moving towards your highest potential, which is part of the work that I like to do individually with clients and on the group level, is to motivate people and help them to believe in themselves that they can actually do, if they have a dream or whatever it is, that it's possible to. Sometimes people just need somebody to believe in them, and you know, that's all that they need. It's like, I had somebody reach out the other day, and they were like, you know, it was a year later after I'd worked with them, and he just reached out to say, hey, I did start my own business. I have contracts all over Florida now, and I would have never done that had I not worked with you. And I'm not saying that too as an ego thing, but it is what it showed me was that all he needed was somebody that actually believed in him, that he could do it, and he was able to do it. So
that's beautiful. Yeah, I think, you know, because there's such a needed, for me, I didn't have the emotional life skills when I was drinking and using, you know, over 12 years ago. I think that a coach is so beneficial for teaching people how to have the emotional life skills that you need in order to deal with all of life's challenges. How do you deal with fear? How do you deal with your attitude problems? How do you have communication skills? Like, what does it even mean to communicate? When he was talking about people need someone to believe in them, that's 100% true. I needed someone to believe in me. I would not be where I am today if I didn't have one person believe in me. I mean, I'm very fortunate that I have a very, very strong family that has always been there for me, but some people don't, and some people don't know how to believe in themselves. And we are there to show you that anything that you want in this world is achievable, but you are going to have to learn to, you know, apply the skills that we teach you and take it out into the world. You know, how do you go and get a job? How do you go and, if you have trauma, how do you deal with the responses that come up that feel uncontrollable, right? You know, so we work a lot with therapists to help them, because a lot of the times we see that therapists and their clients have these things that they're working on, and then the therapists have struggled with being able to carry out what they're doing in the session into the world, you know, because a lot of the times we see clients sabotage a lot. Mm-hmm. And they struggle with social anxiety. You know, they so badly want to go out into this social experience and have fun, but they don't know how. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll go with them, you know, and give them that support and give them that loving, kind attention that they need in those moments where the fear and the anxiety is coming up. You know, and I would say it's not a quick fix. You know, I mean, we've worked with coaches, us personally. You know, I'm a big advocate of therapy. I've been in therapy since I was 13 years old.
Me too.
It's, you know, everyone's different. Everyone is different. There's not one shoe that fits all. I'm an advocate for any type of healing modality that works for you. And a lot of time people need multiple different types of healing in their life, whether it be with a coach and a therapist, you know, whatever that is. So we're there to empower you. We're there to help you step into your worth. You know, we're there to show you what type of life you can live by you showing yourself. And we're just there to, like, motivate you. I was a soccer player growing up, and I had coaches that were, go! Score! And, like, that's what got me. And we are like your soccer coach for your life. Like, you want this goal? You want a happy, successful relationship? This is how you get there. We're here to back you up when times get hard, when you feel like you're being challenged and you want to give up. We're there. That's what we're there for.
I think a big piece of it, too, is the connect. I think a big piece of it, too, is the connection between the coach and the person who's getting coaching. And I say that to say that the reason I think there are so many different coaches is because there are so many different people with so many different unique personalities and needs. So not one coach isn't the right fit for everyone, but there are some coaches that can work more with a broad range of clients, right? But what I'm trying to get at is that the connection is there, and also accountability is a big piece of this. Mm-hmm. Because it's very easy to, so a lot of times what we'll do is we'll set goals with clients in the beginning and then come back usually a few days later or a week later and see what kind of progress they've made on the goals. And if progress hasn't been made, then it might be a situation where it's like the practical work that needs to be done they need to be shown. Mm-hmm. How to do it. And they need it. So it's like the idea of show me your friends, I'll show you your future, right? So you're the coach, and you show them hands-on how to accomplish these goals. And then they can just, start making progress. Sometimes it is. We notice the best results with long-term, long-term accountability. I would say, seriously, minimum is probably about 6 months, and then maximum is, you know, anywhere from 12 to a year or more. So,
you know, one of the things I'm glad that you brought up the point in regards to, you know, not everybody's a good fit. Mm. And one of the things that I've brought up even within my own company and many years ago, and I used to refer to it as a stretch. And when we're making a decision on who's going to be, say, transporting a particular person, and I say, look, everybody has a particular stretch, those in which they work best with. Mm. You know, and the more training that you have, the more experience that you have, you can expand your stretch, those people that you are, that you're going to fit best with. But we also have something that happens, and I can relate to, is as you get older, there is establishing rapport and relating to somebody who's going through a particular thing at a particular age. Mm. And so as taking myself as an example, okay, as I got more experience, okay, so you know, my stretch, my ability to deal with a larger amount of people mm-hmm. was there. And then as I got older and less in the field, that stretch has now gotten much smaller. And there are younger people now who are improving and gaining more experience whose stretch is much better. So I think that as you're talking about coaching, as you have more experience, as you work with more situations, you're improving your ability to help a broader amount of people. Would that be a good way to explain it?
Absolutely. And also, because there are people, like we said, there's so many different personalities with so many
right.
unique needs. We have coaches through Transformational Solutions that specialize in different things. Mm-hmm. So we have a coach that works with young people, specifically people that are trying to get through college maybe or whatever it is. We have a coach that deals with mental health clients specifically without maybe substance use issues at all, just strictly mental health. We have a coach who specializes in mindfulness, kundalini yoga, things like this. So if it's like a person who just wants to expand their spiritual life, then they're going to this coach, right? So we have a variety of coaches for the different needs of different clients.
For the audience listening, how would you help them determine when they need a coach and when they need a therapist?
Mm. Well, I think that, again, I think it depends on who's calling and who and what they are needing. I think that people who are dealing with severe complex trauma, they need to be working with a therapist.
Absolutely.
And if they are not capable of being functioning in the world, they need to be also working with a therapist. And we do the best work when we are working with therapists, with their client. They're able to adjust things that only they specialize. And we learn so much from someone like Denise, someone who specializes in areas. And I never like to call myself an expert. I always like to learn and have my ears open to the knowledge that's out there. And, you know, I find that, you know, we have clients that are not able to leave their home. They are so anxiety ridden. They have so much anxiety that they are incapable of leaving their home. They don't know how to interact with human beings. They don't know how to make money. They don't know what to do with their money when they have it, even if they have it. So, you know, we will say, we will work with you as much as you need, but you also need to be working with a therapist to deal with the underlying issues.
Sure.
And that doesn't mean that we can't help them with that, but we are helping them with the therapist, helping them carry that stuff out into their daily lives.
Absolutely. I would venture to say that there is if it's possible, if financially it's feasible, and if there's, you know, maybe you have the health insurance to do it, go work with a therapist. It's a, mm-hmm. I think everybody should work with a therapist.
Sure.
To be honest
I think
with
we
you.
Should all be in therapy, to yeah. be honest with you. I think.
I really do.
Well, because we need, this culture needs emotional intelligence to be at its primary focus. We have a child, okay? And we are advocates of conscious parenting and teaching our son what it means to have feelings. Right? We need to stop avoiding our feelings and start embracing them. And I think a lot of the people that we work with, their addiction is avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you look at drugs and alcohol, sex addiction, love addiction, anything related to addiction, mental health, addiction problems, self-harming, it's all a way to avoid,
mm-hmm.
avoid these painful feelings that we have. You know, if you can learn where a coach would come in, is teaching them how to feel, teaching them what happens when I'm sweating and all of a sudden I can't talk to this person that's in front of me and I feel terrified and I just want to run. What do I do in that moment? What are some mindset techniques that we can start using in that moment? Focusing on your breath, having affirmations. I mean, affirmations changed my life. I know it's a very common thing, but it's neuroplasticity, right?
Sure.
Like changing the way that your brain works, changing the language that you use. I'm such a huge advocate of reparenting yourself, learning how to be a self-loving parent to yourself, learning how to have a loving relationship with yourself. How do you do that when you've been out there for 10 years abusing drugs and alcohol and doing everything you can to destroy your life, right? So how do you do that in those moments? Well, first you have to give yourself the opportunity to have a new experience.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I've been privileged to work with coaches and mentors for over 30 years. And I think what I've witnessed is that, you know, basically a client gets to see their therapist maybe 1 to 2 hours per week. And it's that space when you go home and have to do these things and practice them where a coach comes in mm-hmm. and can walk you through it on the phone mm-hmm. or they can even come to your house.
That's right.
And help you with, you know, creating that resume or calling the person you want an interview with together. I think there's magic in what you do, and I've been privileged to work with both of you on cases and just those micro steps to wellness mm. that a therapist isn't able to do in the office. It's not that they don't want to.
That's right.
You're just time limited. And so when you can tag team coaches with therapy, I think it's just absolutely golden.
Mm.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Now, a question, or starting with a statement, really. Okay, we seem to be in a state of communication crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, you know, between the lack of civility of our politicians and the talking heads on TV, you know, the shift to electronic communication where everybody's texting versus in-person speaking. Mm. How important is getting families to civilly communicate with each other? How important is that, you know, in what you're doing, and what are some of the tools that you're using to get them away from some of the other ways and to this way in which we're making eye contact and actually having conversation?
Yeah. Do you want to go? I think it's depending on if the family, as long as that's what the family wants and what the client wants, it's the most important thing.
It is
effective communication.
I think communication is the most important ingredient in any relationship. But everyone has to be willing to step up their communication game.
Right.
Because it's not easy. You know, we can teach you incredible communication skills, but if you're not willing to apply it, it's not going to work, right? You have to be willing to be comfortable with the uncomfortable, and sometimes that means having really uncomfortable conversations with your family.
Sure.
Right? But I think that, man, if we can all learn to sit and make eye contact and put your phone away, and give value to the person that you're talking to. Make them feel important. Having empathy for the person sitting in front of you. Empathic awareness is something I teach in the communication workshops that I do. Being able to put yourself in the person that is sitting in front of you, in their shoes. What would it feel like for you if this person is sitting there on their phone, not looking at you, and you're trying to have a really important, loving conversation?
Sure.
You wouldn't feel important.
Right.
What would it feel like for you if someone is talking down to you, making you feel that you should be living life a certain way, right? You feel ashamed, right? So it takes a lot of your own personal work, in my experience, to be able to sit there and improve your communication skills. But it is 100% possible if you're willing to do it. But both parties have to be willing to do it.
That's right.
Right?
So when you're working with a client, tell me a little bit about how that goes over with them. Are they willing to put down their phone? Are they willing to take that direction?
Yes. I mean, I won't work. Listen, if you are willing to do the work, then you will get the results, in my experience. If you're not willing to put the phone away, you're not going to get the results. And I would say until you're ready, don't come and work with me. mm-hmm. Don't come and work on your communication skills if you're not willing to take the direction. And the first direction I think we need is to like sit down and be present with one another. Let our souls connect, right? So I always sit down with the clients and I ask them, like, making it personal, because you have to know your why. If you don't know your reason for doing something, then the work behind it is just not going to get done, because it's tough work. That's why I'm saying, like, you have to do your own personal work. But if you don't know your why you want to communicate better. So if I'm sitting in front of a client and their family, I will ask each individual family member, why do you want to improve your communication with your son? Why do you want to improve the communication with your mom? Why is that important to you? Well, it's important to me because I love them. Why do you love them? Like, really getting to the root of it, so that they see and understand this is what's necessary for us to have a harmonious dynamic in my home. You know, I mean, I've seen so many families, like, when they are able to really hear each other and listen, and not just like, yeah, like waiting for the other person to stop talking so that you can talk, but actively listening, having your, like, what does your body language say when your kid's like talking to you and you're just like, I mean, you can't see me right now, but I'm slouching over on Facebook Live.
Facebook Live can see us. So.
Right. So again, it's about emotional awareness is key, right? But also having the awareness of your own tone, how you sound, right? Do you respond with aggression? Are you responding to be right? Put down trying to be right and start actively listening to one another. What is your kid saying to you? What if they're not? A lot of the times what we see is the kids aren't saying anything. And a lot of the times the families are blindsided to what's going on. They weren't awake or conscious enough, and that's not their fault. They need to learn the skills, right? But, like, what does it mean to be conscious and present to, like, what's going on with your kid, your family, your loved one, your husband, your wife? Like, what are the signs? And then sitting down and saying, hey, I love you. Like, starting off the conversation with love and validation. Hey, I love you. Our relationship means so much to me. I'd like to know what's going on with you, because you seem like you're in a lot of pain.
She gets a lot of practice with me.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a break. We are talking about healing family dynamics through healthy and effective communication. I have with me Rachel Cove and Seth Hall and Denise Klein. We will be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website, westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. We are talking about healing family dynamics through healthy and effective communication. And when we just took a break, Rachel was on fire.
I'm very passionate about this.
Which we love. So I have a question for Denise. Denise, I mean, with the young people that you're working with, what is the difference that you see if you're dealing with a family where they have already worked with a coach before, or if you're looking at a situation to where you've brought them in and maybe setting them up with a coach after the fact?
Well, that's a great question, Alan. We love to use coaches as much as we can, because normally a patient will spend 30 to 60 days in treatment, sometimes 90 if we're very lucky. And basically, they're in a stabilization place where they're selecting their purpose and meaning, moving back into life, re-careering, that sort of thing, because stress is what will lead to relapse. So we really want to minimize the stress. So when a patient goes home or goes into sober living, it's so crucial that they have someone there that can support them. And the sober livings generally have anywhere between 6 to 12 patients. Mm-hmm. And so they need that extra support. So when we bring in a coach, again, in the best of all possible worlds, the coach is working hand in hand with the therapist as the therapist continues to deal with the cognitive distortions and the trauma. The coach can deal with real life situations and practice. It's basically exposure therapy.
That's right.
You leave the bubble of relapse, you leave the bubble of recovery, the recovery center, and you're trying to keep the addiction in remission. Mm. And that's a lot. It's a lot of hard work. It's one day at a time. We wish there were cures. There aren't. It's one day at a time. You know, it's sunny out. There's a trigger. It's raining out. There's a trigger. Yep. You get the job. You're anxious. You don't get the job. You're anxious. So what a coach does is they get into that special space and they spend time with them working through that emotional stress that can cause relapse or lead to mental health relapse as well. And so if you can afford it and you're leaving treatment, I really believe in the power of what you all do.
Thank you.
And I love that you really set firm boundaries around technology. Mm. And I think, you know, one skill would be technology etiquette.
Yeah,
we talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
You know, really. In fact, there was this, I was reading on the internet the other day, there's this restaurant in Arkansas somewhere where they actually give ice cream cones when the parents don't allow the children to bring their, and the parents, to use their technology at the table. So they're rewarding them at being present and in that sacred space as a family, healing and enjoying a night out together. Mm-hmm. So I think there's more to be said about that, too.
Yeah.
I really...
love that. No, I was just going to say, I love that. I'd like to see some of the chains do that, to where as people walk in, it's like, okay, if you check your phone, you get a reward when you take your, before your family goes in and sits down. I think that's a great idea. More should do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I lost what I was going to say, but
you're thinking about ice cream.
Okay, show's over. We're going for ice cream.
I really value what you guys do at Milestones with the technology, because you don't allow cell phones there, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
There's no if someone needs their phone, they have to get up early at 6 a.m. and go to the business office. Mm-hmm. And people told me years ago when we said we were going to be completely unplugged that we'd go out of business, and we're thriving. And honestly, when people come into the center for a day or two, they're edgy, they're detoxing, right?
Totally.
From not having their phones. But I wouldn't do it any other way. I don't know how people can get well when they're constantly plugged in. You know, they're out of balance. And within a few days, they love being free from technology.
Yeah, well, I think, sorry, were you gonna...
Oh yeah, but what I was gonna say is, because I also facilitate workshops at different centers, and not all centers do that. So the centers that don't do that, what I notice is that you'll have two or three, if they don't have a policy in place where they need to turn their cell phones off or put them in a bucket or a basket or whatever, there will be clients that are totally checked out because they're thinking about their phone or they're on their phone, right? And you can ask them to go off of it, but it's such a distraction to the work that should be going on. Mm-hmm. It's technology addiction is the next, with the younger population, I think specifically, we're getting more clients that are in isolation, depression, and have a technology addiction where they're completely disconnected. Their friends are online. Their friends are not people that they see in person, and they stay at home. And it doesn't even have to be drugs and alcohol, but the behaviors are a serious problem, right?
Sure.
And so they'll be 23, 24 years old, still living with mom at the house playing video games all day or on the computer all day. It's the next kind of thing that's happening with the next generation, I think.
And I think that, you know, if you were to talk to someone who is sitting at home playing video games, it's not necessarily something that they, again, it's an addiction. It's not necessarily something they want to be doing, but it is a way for them to check out. Mm-hmm. It is another way of avoidance and escaping. And so, again, it's back to, like, what are you avoiding?
Sure.
What are you trying to escape from? This is your solution. What's the problem? You know, if you can really go into the problem and see what is causing you to lead yourself into this type of addiction, then that's when the healing can occur. And then we come in and we say, okay, well, like, what are your habits around this? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you do as soon as you wake up in the morning? Are you going immediately to your phone? We were just listening to Mel Robbins.
Right.
She was giving, you know, advice on how to do your morning, that it's not about what time you wake up, but it's about how you handle your morning. And
that's
one of the things she said was, don't go on your phone for the first 10 minutes.
She said, yeah, she said something like your priorities will be set by your phone instead of you setting your priorities for the day. Like the narrative will be whatever you see on the phone the first thing in the morning. So interesting stuff. Yeah.
So when you're coaching families about technology, what do you tell them to tell their children? What are the interventions you use for them to help the family systems stay intact and the kids to put the phones down? That's got to be a tough one.
It is
tough. I think the first thing, again, is finding out their why. Like, why do you want them to put their phones away? And really having them in a loving way. Because, listen, everyone's going to respond differently to, put your phone away, Bobby. Mm-hmm. To, hey, Bobby, when I'm sitting with you, it's because I love you and I want to spend time with you and I really miss you. Mm. And so when you're on your phone, it makes me feel like I'm not connected to you. So do you think we can maybe set a timer for 20 minutes where we're not on the phone and we're just sharing the space with each other? I mean, you're going to hear that better than, Bobby, put your phone away.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, great point. Great job.
Thank you. I mean, I and listen, we're not innocent here. Like, we're married, right?
I'm telling
and, like,
you where we, she gets all the practice.
I mean, we don't coach on what we don't know and have experienced personally because we're able to relate. So if him and I are not connecting and we're on our phones, one of us gets angry. But one of us, if one of us, me, is trying to control the other by saying, you need to put your phone away now, your initial response is being defensive.
Sure.
Right? And if you're on the attack mode, you're wired to be in the defensive mode because the other person's in attack mode. You have to save yourself, right? So again, it's not about attacking. It's not about making the other person feel shamed. It's about understanding why they're doing it and really connecting to what's the truth of why you want them to put the phone away, why you want to spend time together. For families too, what I say a lot is create like a date night for the family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, have a date night. You have to be able to take different action if you want different results. And that's in anything that you do. If your dynamics with your family right now are not doing well, I promise you that can change, but you cannot keep pointing the finger at the other person. You've got to be willing to take responsibility. I think that's the number one thing, is that every single person in your family has to be able to take responsibility for themselves.
Well, I love the fact that you started that with, and we're not perfect either, essentially.
No.
And you know, it's something that I think lots of the parents need to understand. And one of the things that I used to say when my children were smaller, because here I'm talking to a parent, and they're now trying to set up something saying, in essence, I need you to come get my child because I can't do it myself. Mm. I mean, so, but recognizing that, there's this feeling that they're feeling bad about it, or that we're somehow thinking that better or smarter or anything else. And so one of the stories that I used to tell them when my kids were younger was, you know, you probably would have a better chance at getting my kids to go to their 8 o'clock bedtime to actually go to sleep, because they already know my buttons. Dad, can I have a glass of milk? Dad, can I have a glass of water? Dad, will you rub my back? Dad, will you read me another book? You know, all of these things, that's the buttons that they're using at that age. So these parents that are now dealing with a 15-year-old, they've got 15 years experience at pushing their buttons. Mm. So by sharing them that you would have a better job with my children to get them to go to bed. So don't feel bad that I'm coming in because your children don't know my buttons, which now goes to the idea of coaching, to where when you're going in, some of us know that we're doing something wrong, but somehow, coming from someone else.
Absolutely.
That's now kind of a wake-up call, not only for us as the parents, but for our children and stuff. They're going to listen to somebody because they haven't figured out your buttons yet.
Yeah, well, I think too, like with a coach, and I think with a therapist as well.
Exactly.
You know, we're holding the end game in mind. Like, we're holding the space of, we're going to, Like, we're going to try to get you to a place where you guys are in loving communication with each other. You feel happy to be in the same room with each other. But to get there is not always easy, right? So you need someone to hold you, to hold that space for when it's uncomfortable, mm-hmm. right? And with families, you're going to get more triggered by your family members than anyone else in your life. You get triggered by the closest people in your life. So first, it's knowing that. And that's normal. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I think as humans, we're complicated. It's not just like, I mean, and I think that's why it's important to talk about it with people so that you find out that you're not abnormal. I think so many families we've worked with who have children who are dealing with addiction, one of the number one things I hear all the time is, I thought we were the only ones,
yeah.
right? And being a parent of someone who is an addict, like there's so much trauma. They need to see a therapist themselves.
Exactly.
They need to start taking responsibility for what they've started to experience, how it affects them. I think one of the things I see a lot too is a family member, when their kid comes home and the parents are really stressed out. They're like looking at every corner, like to see if their kid has relapsed.
They're hypervigilant.
Yes.
Hypervigilant, right? Which is a trauma response, mm-hmm. right? Because your youth has gone through hell and you have gone through hell with them. So you got to get back to a state of like homeostasis.
Right.
Which takes time.
Yes.
And then we come in and build boundaries around that and structured living. You know, what do you do when your mom is super reactive? Understanding what that means. Like, you know, like really understanding your mom's being reactive because she's scared. How do you respond when someone's scared? And teaching the mom how to communicate, honey, I'm really scared right now because when you were doing drugs or when you were doing this, it made me feel helpless. And when I feel helpless, I try to control.
Yeah. Well said. We have a couple of listener questions, and I want to make sure we get to those. And I also want to thank everybody that takes the time to do that. I know that we're in the middle of the day. Lots of people are working. So we have people that send these to us, after they receive an email that announces who's going to be on the show. And we'll get something that says, look, I'm going to be working at that time, but please ask this question. So, again, I appreciate them taking the time. This first one reads, it says, teens, for the most part, are not very communicative. At the levels that count. My niece is bright and talkative, except about what is really going on with her and her boyfriend. We are certain that he is leading her into drinking and using drugs. The signs are there. It says her name. I'm trying to skip the name out of it. She will be graduating high school next year, and my sister, who is a single mother, is getting anxious about what comes next if she moves in with the boyfriend, as they are now discussing. What do you suggest? And this is from Tony with an I in San Francisco.
Take it away, Seth.
Oh, no. You take this one.
Well, again, I think it's asking, first it's understanding how this is affecting you. So how does this make you feel? Well, it probably makes you feel scared and helpless. And what is the fear? The fear is something bad happening to my daughter. And how am I trying to control this? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So in your conversations with your loved one, when you can take responsibility for how you're feeling, it's going to create a space that's more neutralized versus, especially with teenagers. And listen, I was not an easy teenager. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that that's really hard. So if you're dealing with that, it's so challenging. And I want to honor the fact that you're asking this question so that you can find a solution. So good on you. And know that there isn't just one easy fix, but I think it's really the most important thing is connecting with your daughter. Figure out a way where you can connect with your daughter. Figure out a way, like, what is she trying to do with this person? What is she trying to feel? Are you guys connected? How do you speak with your daughter? Do you make it safe for your daughter or your loved one to come and talk to you? Is it a safe space for that? Or in your experience, in your history, do you criticize them? Do you judge them? Do you tell them how they should be living? Like, what if they didn't feel like they were scared, you know, and they can trust you with anything, make it a safe space for that, where they can come talk to you.
Definitely.
It's always, the answer is always communication.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting because he said she doesn't communicate about the things that matter.
That matter.
Right. Yeah, it's tough.
No, in fact, it was interesting because on my way here, and I listen to podcasts because I make a pretty long drive to get here.
Yeah.
And the podcast was talking about what's important. And it happened to be talking about this subject, saying that it was referring to a family whose children communicate about food and fashion and do not talk about their feelings. They do not talk about the things that really matter. They don't talk about love or they don't talk about what's really bothering them. Mm. You know, they were referring to it saying, well, what really bothers me is that, you know, I can't buy the latest whatever it is that they want to wear, you know, or, you know, I can't eat this because, you know, for some reason or whatever. And it was just, it was interesting that happened to be the one I was listening to on the way here was we're communicating with our children, but not on the things that are deep, that really matter, that make a difference, that you're going to remember, you're going to carry on for many years.
Well, I want to point this out. It may not matter to you, but it matters to your daughter. So figure out why it matters.
Good point.
Figure out why the clothes matter so much. When I was in high school, oh my God, the clothes I was wearing meant everything because it meant I was viewed a certain way if I was wearing all the brand names. Why do I need to be viewed a certain way? I need to be viewed a certain way so I feel accepted. Oh, well, if I know that my daughter wants to be accepted, that makes me feel that's more real to me. Right? You're in two different generations. We just bought a book for our 2-year-old about feelings, introducing feelings when you're two. And it's not just most families are uncomfortable with feelings.
Absolutely.
They don't know what to do with them.
Just stuff them down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jackson's so lucky to have two parents who are coaches.
Thank you.
Yes.
I've seen them with Jackson, and they're absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, that's interesting. I haven't seen you with Jackson that much, but it seems like I always see your dad with him.
Oh, my dad's obsessed with my child. Oh, yeah. My dad's super obsessed.
We
but
have
you know,
to FaceTime twice a day.
Yeah. Like, my dad and my mom, you know, when I was growing up, I was a soccer player, right? He was a BMX writer, right? So our moms were at our games all the time. Not necessarily because, and my dad was too, but not necessarily because they enjoyed, I mean, I was very good. And so soccer was fun, but
very
it was
good.
Because of what it meant to me.
Yes.
You're not always going to enjoy the same thing that your kids are obsessed about, but it's like, why does it mean so much to them? When I was growing up, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was the most important thing on the planet to me. It wasn't about the show. It was about what she represented. She represented strength and female empowerment and being able to take on the world. And this is when I was in high school. Well, when you're 13, you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. And she represented how to get through that. So your kids and your loved ones, they're showing you. They're actually showing you how to help them, how to connect with them. They don't know how to do it either.
Right.
They're just figuring out how to do it themselves.
Right.
And maybe fashion is their way of connecting.
Well, that's, again, a great point. And because we're talking about communication, and I'm looking up going, we only have a couple of minutes, but there is another listener question. I know time is flying by. So this question, it actually looks more like a comment. It says, you talk a lot about communication. My husband has an addictive personality. I do not. He has been off and on alcohol and marijuana for over 20 years. Mm. Any conversation I try to initiate on almost any topic, he twists into an argument. I believe he is doing this deliberately to push me away. Mm. Finally, I am feeling as though it is time to walk away from the relationship. We tried the couple's therapy sessions, and he called them a total waste. I'm at a loss as what to do, and this is from Paula in Detroit.
That's super tough.
And we've got about 2 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, if he's been drinking and smoking marijuana for 20 years, he might be kind of being told what to do by the alcohol and the marijuana, you know, where I don't know, but it sounds like something that could potentially happen in this situation is the couple's therapy. It would be really hard to have it be effective while one is still drinking and smoking marijuana and doing all that. So getting those out of the equation might be the place to start. Now, I don't know if she's going to be able to do that, but maybe a phone call with someone that could, or a friend of his that is, you know, doing well or something. Maybe he has a conversation with him. I don't know if that's something that's possible.
More of an intervention with friends and family to be able to point out what everybody can see that he can't.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Interrupt the process and try and get him support. Mm-hmm. And if he is unwilling to do so, make sure that you're getting yourself support through therapy and perhaps even some coaching to make make decisions that are self-regarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Guys, this has been wonderful. As you can tell, every time that any combination of us is on, time just flies by.
It really does.
So, so again, we will all definitely be back again. Thank you so much. And I just really want to acknowledge you for everything that you're doing. I think anybody that chooses to make lives better for other people, I honor. So I honor all three of you because I know all three of you do this. So thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Please.
Thanks,
thank you
Alan.
So much. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you so much for having us. I just really quickly wanted to note that if you have, we are having a men's symposium.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, October 30th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's at Calamigos Ranch. And
the date?
The date is October 30th. Okay. And it's for young men. It's a rites of passage, stepping into responsibility and, you know, connecting with, the idea is connection with other men, and there are going to be mentors and people to look up to. It's going to be a great event. So if you have, you know, a son that you would like to send, send them our way.
Okay. Now, best way to reach you, do you want them to reach you by phone? Is it best to go to your website? What is the best way to get more information on that or any of the other things we've talked about?
Yes, Seth@TransformationalSolutions.com.
All right. And for those of you that are driving, we'll have all of this on our website, answersforthefamily.com. All right. So for everybody out there, please be sure and join us next Monday when we'll be joined by Roberta Shaler, PhD, to discuss smart steps to save, sustain, and strengthen your relationship. And visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com. You can subscribe to us through iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spreaker. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people. We greatly appreciate it. Next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts, and if you like them, please like us, spread the word. For everybody out there, be good human beings, and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.